Okay, we're learning Das Midas Secha on page Resh Lamed Dalet. Page Resh Lamed Dalet. Hashtokas Hapkol Hapnimi. For the past few weeks, we've been learning about the Midah of Shtika, silence, and how it comes from the Yesod of Afar, and the different types of shtika. There's a shtika of kilkul, there's destructive silence, and there's a shtika of tikkun that we've been talking about, eish and mayim. And that brought us into a discussion of hakol kol Yaakov, Yaakovino, the kol of Yaakov, and Rachel Imenu, the shtika of Rachel Imenu. And we're in the middle of page Reish Lamed Dalet, Hashtokas Akol Hapnim. Because as we learned, what we're going to talk about today is that voice inside of oneself, and silencing that voice that's inside of oneself. As we've been learning, there's a sound, there's a voice, there's a call, there's a noise that is heard on the outside, like the sound of the shofar or the sound of a scream. And then you have the sound within oneself, the kol hapnimi. We're going to be talking today about the kol hapnimi. It's a very hard inyan. We'll try to understand it, and I'm going to drag it to try the best we can to understand it. So the middle of page Reish Lamed Dalet. Hamahalach hayoser elyon, kfi shehuskal elhi, mem dememis, and shin sharekes. Now, a few weeks ago, we learned, it says in the Sefer Yetzira, that the mem is the mem of silencing, mem dememis, and the shin is the shin sharekes. Sharekes means a screech, a loud sound. Mem is dememis, and the shin is sharek, it's like whistling, shrieking. Mitzad kach lo medubar al dibur elas shrika, tzifsufei ofes, like the sound, not of speech, but of shrieking, of making whistling sounds, like the tzifsufei ofes, like birds chirping. V'b'chinas eish shasharekis v'ein v'dibur. We spoke about that. The fiza ha-hepach shel ha-shin sharekis, ha-mem do-memes, do-memes gam, he, Mashrika. Therefore, since mem is the quality, the midah of silencing, closing the mouth, mem domemes, the Sefer Yetzirah says, domemes is lashon of demama, silence. And when we close our lips, that's when we silence ourselves. Hamem domemes, domemes gam mehashrika. The mem doesn't only silence speech, it also stops that sound, that call of the shrika. It silences it. V'loshen ha-nikud ha-gdori hi she-bem-kaim shuruk yesh shva. Now, you know, with the vowelization, the nikudis by the letters, The word shrika, which is a screech, a whistle, a screech, shrika is connected to the word shuruk. Shuruk, as you know, shuruk is the sound, the vowel of the three dots underneath, shuruk, or also the dot in the vav, but shuruk means the vowel that causes that sound of u, shuruk. Now, if you take that shrika of the vowel shuruk and you silence it, it becomes a shva. Now, I hate to bring back memories of diktuk from when we were young, those who went to yeshiva and had the dikta class, but it's part of Torah, as you know. And there's a vowel that's shva. Shva could be either a shva nach or a shva na. So the two dots that are under a letter, for instance, when you say the word S, so the shva stops the letter from moving forward. It silences the letter from going forward. That's what the shva does. The shvanach. You have a shvana. Bereshis. Bereshis. So you have the shva that's moving the word forward, but you have the two dots that are causing the word to be still, that are stopping it. The shva. So, in the Lashon of Nikud, Rav Schwartz is explaining, Ha'agdara hi shebem kaim shuruk yeshva. Instead of the shuruk, which is the vowel of motion, of movement, of sound, shuruk, shrika. Instead, you have the shva nach that causes that sound to stop, that stops the letter, that stops the word. This is just, but the vowels themselves is a very big asik. My wife spent 22 years Shavuos night learning the alephbeis with the women, the girls. Each year for the past 22 years, she was learning with them a different letter of the alephbeis. And for the past two Shavuos, she began working on the vowels, on the nekudas. In one of Rav Kook's most difficult svarim, I think probably it's safe to say, Rav Kook's most difficult sefer, is called Reish Milan, which is on, it's a tiny sefer. It's on the Aleph Beis. And at the end, Rav Kook has a few pages on the Chirik, the Segol, the Shva. He has on the vowels, on the Nekudas. The Nekudas have very, very, very deep meaning. In Kabbalah, even though in the Sefer Torah, they're, of course, invisible. We don't see any of the vowels in the Sefer Torah. But every letter has a vowel. Rabbi Nachman speaks about the vowels, the nekudas akesef. He speaks about the vowels as an expression of longing, of moving forward. That's what a vowel does. If the letters wouldn't have any vowels, they would be stuck. Imagine if there wouldn't be any vowels, the letters wouldn't be able to go anywhere. Same thing with a person, that if a person doesn't have vowels, now the vowels are invisible, but if you don't have a cheshek, then you don't move in life. Letters, Isis, every Jew, of course, corresponds to a letter in the Sefer Torah, and the letters have vowels that are, you don't see them in the Sefer Torah, but every letter has a vowel. And each vowel has meaning. What's a kamas? What's a pasach? A kometz means when something is closed. So you have a personality that's like a kometz. Somebody that's cheap is called a kamtzen, right? It's closed. Closed. Then you have a person who has a pasach. Pasach is open. Right? Every vowel has very deep meaning. So the shuruk is a big sugya. But we could feel and we sense that the shuruk is a vowel of motion, of depth, of meaning. The shva is the silencing or the stopping of the letter. It puts a letter to, it stops a word. It stops a letter. That's what a shvanach does. Shva hu mokam hashtika. Shva is silence. Yeshna shin sharekis. There is the shin that is shrieking, that is moving. Shuruk, that vowel. Vakasha writes in Magala Shtika, Oisem, and when you want to silence somebody, it's so fascinating. Because the way to silence somebody, I don't know in other languages, but in English and Lahavdal and Lashna Kaidish, the way to silence a person is by going shh, shh. Right? Shh. I don't know if that's universal. I don't know if the Chinese do that. I don't know if in Spanish. Spanish, we have people there that know Spanish. I think in Spanish they do that too. Spanish and French. But I don't know if in the Oriental languages, if they, in Arabic for sure, and in Lashon HaKodesh for sure, that the shin is a way of shushking. Shushking. Shh, 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 shh. When someone's making a lot of noise, then you have to go sha. But when it's just a little bit, then you go shh, shh. It calms, it quiets. Shh. Lama, why? Ki ha-shin hi ha-sharekis. Because shin means fire, it means loudness, it means shrieker, it means shrieking. And when you're trying to silence that shriek, osim zos bamsos oisashin, you use the same letter. The tikkun comes from that letter, and therefore, when the person is gept ashray, he's screaming or he's shrieking or there's a shuruk, then we use the shva or the shin to say what? Shh, shh, quiet. Zui havchanas hashtika bebchinas svasayim. This is how we use our lips to silence. Undavar, we're going to explain. Adkan. Now we're going to talk about all of this benefish in the soul. Adkan is by rashtika sheyachas liyisayda ofer. Until now, we've been talking about shtika that sheyachas to the yisad of ofer. Now we're going to talk about the tikkunim of shtika in the yisod of water, of mayim. We're going to see amazing things. Shtika zu bo lahashtik is hakol shesharek, is hakol kol yahu. This shtika is very, very powerful form of shtika. Because again, there's one level of shtika is to silence a noise that you can hear on the outside. When there's a voice, there's a sound. But what about when a person has noise in his head? Now, we all know what that's like. Like, for instance, when you're nervous, I don't know, should I buy this or should I sell this? So in your head, there's noise. Or when you're worried because you're having a problem with your kid, and you don't know, should I take him out of this yeshiva and put him to that yeshiva? You don't know what to do. So in your head's buzzing inside your head. There's all kinds of things going on in your head about this yeshiva, about that yeshiva, about your kid, all kinds of things. Your head is mamish, filled with noise. So there's a way to silence that noise inside the brain. Emotions, fears, feelings, have to silence them. It's not just outside noises. It's inside noises. Those are the hardest to silence. The voice is outside, you know, the voice is outside are relatively easy. You always have to have a good pair of earplugs nearby. And then if you have more trouble, I have over there my big silencers. That's easier to silence the noise from the outside. But the noise inside, that's not so pashut. When a person has problems with bitachon, and you're afraid. During this time that we've been in, there are certain people from whom the midah of pachad, that their pachdonim has come out in a very strong way. I'm not talking about legitimate worries and concerns that are recommended by doctors and so on. I'm talking about people who are pachdonim. They're people who are, unfortunately, are hypochondriacs or have fears that are irrational fears. You know, I don't want to make any comment on what's called irrational fear and irrational fear because then I'm going to have everybody angry with me. But, you know, like imagine if you see somebody like parachuting out of a plane now and he's 10,000 feet above the city and you'd see him wearing a mask. I guess that we would all agree that the guy has an irrational fear. I'll stop at that. I don't want to talk about it on earth because then I'm going to get people a little riled up. But there are certain people that are pachdanim by nature, that they're pachdanim. Somebody said to me an interesting lashon that because he was very extreme in his precautions, even according to doctors, it sounded very extreme. So he said he used a lashon to say that he's medically conservative. I said, I understand that. But inside of my head, I was like in first grade, I was saying, no, you're just a scaredy cat. You're a scaredy cat. You're a pachdan. No, look, I'm not saying that I'm such a courageous person, but there are irrational fears that people have. And people go meshuga with irrational fears. You can go crazy from being afraid of things. There are people now that do that. Pachdanim, the people who are normally, you know, that they're on the edge. But then when we have this sickness, so it became, you see by people that pachad, such pachdanim, that pachad is a terrible thing. That's why we don't make fun of that. When we were kids, we would make fun of it. That's not nice. But when you're older, you have the sense to know that that's a fear that people have. There are people who are afraid of things. And you have to try to help them calm down, not to be so afraid. People who are afraid of heights. There are people afraid of the dark. If you're not afraid of the dark and someone else is, you have to be sensitive to that. Don't, you know, have fun by turning out all the lights, you know. It's not nice. They're afraid of the dark. You're afraid of something else. But there are all kinds of phobias and fears, and they take up a lot of space in the head. Person in the head. Well, how about when a person is having chas v'shalom inappropriate thoughts and you don't want to have those? You want them to go away. There are noises, there are sounds, there are images, there are pictures in the head and sounds that need to be removed, that need to be silenced. That's not easy. Shtika zum mischalekes l'shnaim, on page Reish Lamed Hei. Shtika zum mischalekes l'shnaim. Kasher mashtik adam is hakol ha'pnimi shabai. When somebody is trying to silence the inner voice, there's a sound in the head, and you're trying to silence that. Be'efshirus la'ashtika b'shtei panim. There are two ways to silence the the sound inside the head. Lahatz aleph, lahatz mitzvos of zulazu. Now, you could put your lips together. You have this thing that you're thinking of saying, and it might be something that you shouldn't say. So you have to hold your lips together. You have to put a shva. Like shvaig also means silence. You have to put a shva, close your lips, and stop and prevent that shuruk, that shriek, from coming out of your mouth. Not to say those words, or not to give a scream. So one way to do that with the mem do memes, you close your lips. That's just so that the sound inside of your head shouldn't come out. You have people in the world that they have very, very weak lips. And whatever they're thinking about, they say. Even if there's something that's not appropriate, they'll just say things that come to their minds. Instead of shtika, instead of closing their mouths, the thoughts, whatever they're thinking, comes out of their head. Like children, like you have adults like that too. Whatever they're thinking, it comes out. They have weak borders, weak svasai. So that's just to prevent the sound of this or the words from coming out of your mouth. You close your lips. Boilem es piv. You close your lips. Beis is harder. Lahashtig es etzem hakol apnimishalai. Now beis is a higher madrega. Beis is already silencing those words that are inside your head. Now, you have inappropriate things. So one madrega is don't say it to other people. Don't talk to other people about that. That's just closing your lips. But then you don't want those, you don't want that talking inside your brain. That's messing up your head. You don't want that, you don't want those speeches inside your brain, even though you're not saying them. So that's much harder. To silence the actual, that actual kol that is inside of you. Shagam shamhu yishtaik. That even there, in your mind, there should be silence. And with both of these, shtika comes from the yisod of mayim, of water. What does this have to do with water? So first he explains, Elohim shnei sugim shel hashtakas. These are two types of shtika, external and internal. From communicating with others and communicating with yourself, within yourself. Sug echad hukidivri ha-gemar. The Gemara says, chashoik sif sasacha zubazu, ba'al teboyel lahashiv. When somebody insults you, when somebody says something you don't like, and you feel like responding, so the Gemara says, make your lips tight, tighten your lips, ba'al tevahel hashiv, and don't rush to respond. Tighten your lips. All that requires is a tightening of the lips, and you don't say anything, you don't make any sound, not even a sound, not just that you don't say anything, you don't go, oi, oi. You don't say anything. You just close your mouth. Zui hagdoros oisis beis vav mem and the end of pei. Sha'achas meheni mem da memes. One of the letters of the lips that we pronounce with our lips, beis, vav, mem, and pei, are with the lips. And one is the mem, and mem is domemes. Maduhi domemes. Why is it the mem that silences? He's so garis because the mem closes the lips. Beis is open, vav opens, and so on. Mem closes the lips. B'shosho demoyim mem svosob nizgoros. When you say the mem, your lips are closed. Mechaye ha-mesem. But the mem, the lips are closed. Mitzad kaf ha-kol eni yetz lechutz. Say that. And that's enough to stop the sounds from coming out, or the words from coming out. Ach b'fnim u-kayim. Ha-tsa'oka ha-pnim is kayemes. But that doesn't, the mem doesn't silence the inner voice. Just the outer voice. Hatzaka pnimis kayemes. You can still have in your head, you're screaming inside your head. Avakasha Adamoy says, shh. When a person goes like that, he says, shh. That's really on a deeper level. And it's not just about shushking somebody else. It's the person himself. Shh, shh, himself. You know, the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch Chusi Yelenu was an unbelievably deep thinker. His hanochis, his mamarim and chsidis are from the deepest and the longest. And Rav Zevin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes that he remembers that how very often when the Rebbe Rashab would be in the middle of saying a maimer in chsidis, that he would, in the middle of the Miami, he would all of a sudden go, shh, shh, shh. Even though Rav Zevin said that nobody was making a sound. You could hear a pin drop. Who would dare talk when the Rebbe Rashab was saying a Miami? Nobody was talking. There wasn't a sound. There wasn't any noise coming from outside. There wasn't any noise at all. There was a powerful rush of thoughts, of noise inside the tzaddik's mind. But he was trying to communicate chassidus to the chassidim, to the olam. And in order for him to be able to communicate divrei elokim chayim, He had to shh. It wasn't from any of the noise outside. It wasn't the Shushka himself from saying things. It was that his mind was exploding with energy, with thought, with ideas, with concepts. And in order for him to be able to communicate, in order for him to be able to put everything in order, he would shh to himself. He was, as Evan said, this would happen very often. He would in the middle of talking, he would be quiet and he would go shh, shh, shh. That was for inside, not for outside. There was no noise on the outside. The noise was on the inside. Hashtoka chala pnima, umashtikas hashin sharekis. Hugoyim lakach shahakol hapnimi yehe mushtak. Here's where a person is trying to silence the sound, the voice, the noise that's inside. And he's able to go to a place which is called in Chassidus Kola Pnima. He's able to go to a place of the inner, the deepest inner sound of Mamakim that's higher than the sound of the Shofar. That's higher than the sound of the Shofar. I saw Mordechai Meiser. I'm not going to tell you the whole Meiser, it would take a while, but there was a Mordechai Meiser about a Jew in Berlin by the name of Naftali Horowitz. Now, this Naftali Horowitz, before the Milchama, before the Holocaust, was a world class, like Mamish, big piano player. World class. And even as a kid, he was going around on Europe. They were taking him around to play piano. He was a virtuoso. No, the Milchama came, and he was in Auschwitz. This is Naftali Horowitz. He was in Auschwitz. And like the other chevra there, he was falling apart from the torture and the starvation and so on. And he found a way to survive. Everybody who was still trying to live was looking for a way to survive. And the way that he found was that he was able, using some cigarettes that he had stashed away, to bribe a Nazi to bring him a roll of paper from the office. A roll of paper. I don't know what kind of paper, but some kind of paper, a roll of paper. And ink, and some ink. And he took this roll of paper, and on the roll of paper, he colored the keys of a piano. The white, the black. He made it into a paper piano. A make-believe paper piano. And every night, when they would come back from the whatever that they went through, and it was time to go to lie down on the planks, he would take out this paper piano. He would take out the paper piano, and he would close his eyes, and he would begin to play. But a world-class concert from a world-class musician. And it said the one who was there, who told this over, who was in the barracks, said that Chevra would sit around and watch. And guys would start to cry. And they would become inspired. He would say beforehand, I'm now doing, you know, Beethoven's seventh. I don't know this stuff, but maybe there isn't the seventh. I don't remember. But he would do Beethoven. He says, we're going to do Beethoven's seventh. And the people there who were familiar, I mean, there were some that didn't know, but the ones who understood this inion of what's Beethoven's seventh, they would sit over there and they would watch him. And he had this paper piano and he would close his eyes. And he was doing the piece. So, and the chevra there was like, they would be transported. They it was unbelievable. So what happened was that one of the Jews told him that he heard a rumor that in Theresienstadt, in Czechoslovakia, in the camp Theresienstadt, that the Nazis are gathering musicians there, Jews who are talented, and they're making an orchestra. The Germans, Yimach Shemam, they wanted to make, you know, in Theresienstadt, they made for the world like a show like they have the concerts going on, Kilo, it's a rose singers, you know. So this, you told them that if you can, you're an unbelievable talent, you're a famous pianist, and you could, if you would be able to audition for the Nazis over here, it would be for them a choshev thing if they could send you to Theresienstadt to be in the orchestra. And there, these people in the orchestra, they have what to eat. They give them what to eat. So he didn't think about it. He said, what am I going to do over here? How am I going to audition? What are you talking about? And then one day that was particularly horrible. So he couldn't take it anymore. And he remembered this thing. And he went over also with a cigarette or two to some Nazi. And he said that, I want you to know that I'm a very, very talented piano player. And I would like to audition for the commandant in the office. I'd like to audition for the officers because I am a great piano player. And if I were to be sent to Theresienstadt, that would be a very choshev thing for you and the commandant in the eyes of the generals, the higher-ups in Theresienstadt. It would be a feather in your caps. So first this Nazi is yelling at me, idiot, what are you? But he gave him another cigarette or two, and he said, I'll see what I can do. You listening, Chavit, to this story? I have to remember to tell this over to the Tzibur. This is a Gevalda Gemay. So then the Nazi said, I'll see what I can do. So the next morning, he comes over to this Horowitz, Naftali Horowitz. The Nazi comes over and he says to him that you can come with me, but you have to bring your own. He was laughing. He said, you have to bring your own instrument. You have to bring your own piano. And that's what the Nazi said. So he said, okay. So he had his little thing in his little paper. And they brought him, and in the office, the commandant was sitting there with a bunch of Nazis. And this was going to be major fun morning activity for these Nazis. And the commandant says, I understand that you're a very talented piano player. He said, yes. He said, and would you do us the pleasure of playing a piece for us? He said, yes. He said, and they all start to laugh, and they're like laughing, all of them there. And the commandant said, okay. Did you bring your instrument? You brought your piano? And he said, yes. So then one of the Nazis got up with a gun and went over to him and said, let me just, this is ridiculous already. And the commandant said, no, that's it. We're having a good time. Okay, where's your instrument? Where's your piano? So he takes out his little paper with all the keys of the piano. and he puts it on the table. And the guy with the gun says he's making fun of us. And the commandant says, leave him. Let's see. And then Naftali says, which piece would you like me to play? So the commandant says some famous classical piece. And Naftali says, okay. And he starts to play on the paper without a sound. But he never played like this in his life. He never played like this in his life, yeah? I mean, I don't know anything about music, but he was going, you know, on the paper, everything, like whatever these guys could do, you know? He was doing it. And the commandant was a big maven in music, apparently. And, you know, in Germany, they're very cultured, the Germans. They like this stuff. And they were, and they sat there for 20 minutes. They couldn't take their eyes off of it. They couldn't take their eyes. They're like, Mamish Nispal from this silent concert. And then he closed his eyes and he sat back and he was finished. He was perspiring and everything. He's finished. And the officers that were there, they didn't say anything. They didn't look at him. They just got up and they walked out of the office. The commandant sat there for a while, quiet. The Rasha, he sat there for a while, quiet. And he says, wait here. And he went to the office and he came back with a note with his signature. And he was sent to Theresienstadt the next day. And he played in that orchestra and he survived the war. He played in the orchestra in Theresienstadt. So Mordechai Gemeisse. There's a lot to say about it. There's a lot to say about this story. And he told it over, this Yid, Naftali Horowitz. He told it over at the end of how he survived by playing on a paper piano for Nazis in Auschwitz. So there is such an inyan. There is such an amazing inyan of an entire concert that it doesn't make a sound. That's inside the head. Arkadekach was it inside Naftali Horowitz's head, because when he was moving his fingers along on the paper, of course he heard every single note in his head. But Arkadekach, that the Nazi was able to be moved, all of these guys, these chayes, they were able to be moved to the point of tears. Where anybody that would be looking in from outside would see nothing except some mishigna running his fingers on a piece of paper. So there's such a thing of a kola pinima, of an inner sound that comes from the deepest place. And it's even possible for another person to hear that. It's even possible for somebody else to hear that. When people know each other very, very well, on a very deep level, they don't have to say things. They could be thinking things. And I'm not talking about Kabbalah. I'm not talking about magic or mental telepathy like these people that they perform. They tell you what, you know, what number you're thinking of. There's such a thing that a person is able with a mind that is able to speak to another person's mind. There's such an inyan like that, especially when people are close to each other. So this too is a sound. It's a very, very deep sound. Shh. So there's a shh that silences. My nafki minib ben shtei ashtikas halalu, the middle of the page, reish lamed hey. What's the nafki minib between these two types of shtikas? The silencing from an external sound or voice, or the silencing of an inner sound or voice? Now we're going to talk about the Gemara. That's one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. And one of the deepest, most difficult, amazing Gemaras in all of Shas. In Menachas Chavtes. The Bishar Shalom Moshe Lamarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, went up into the clouds to get the Torah. He found Hashem, whatever this means, in some prophetic vision. He saw that Hashem was tying crowns to the letters. He was making crowns on the letters of the olive base. Omer lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam, mi ma'akev hayadcha. Moshe, when he asked Hashem, mi ma'akev hayadcha, what is causing this delay? What is it that you're busy with? Omer loy, Odom echad yesh osdalios besoif kamadaris va'akiva ben Yosef shema. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you all know this Gemara. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be a yid in many generations from now, and his name is Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. She'osid lidrash al kol kaitz v'kaitz tilin tilin shalachis. And these crowns that I'm making, you know, you want to know why I'm wasting time here making crowns on the letters? You should know that this Rabbi Akiva in the future is going to be learning out piles of halachas and deep secrets of Torah and halachas from what? From the crowns of the letters. Amalafanav. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, have you seen it, Torah Asai? Hareini Schari. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, you've shown me the greatness of his Torah, this Rabbi Akiva's Torah, so let me see what his reward is for such great Torah, for being such a master of Torah. What's his reward? Amalai, chazor la'acharecha. Hashem says to Moshe, go back. Now, everything here is very deep. We're not going to get into it. There's so much written on this Gemara. Chazor la'acharecha, whatever that means, Moshe went back. And he was able to see, ro'ash ha'shoiklin b'saro b'makulin. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the future that the Romans are going to be weighing the flesh of Rabbi Akiva to sell in the Roman market as a souvenir of the famous rabbi that they caught and that they tortured to death. And they dismembered his body and cut him into pieces, and his flesh was being sold as souvenirs in the Roman marketplace. That was his reward for being a tzaddik and for being so great in Torah. Amar lefanav, so Moshe Rabbeinu said what any one of us would have said. Zu Torah v'zu schar? Is this the reward for all of his Torah? This is what he gets for all the Torah that he learned and that he taught? Amalai, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, shtoik, be silent. Kach olib machshav lefanai. Hashem says, this is the thought that I had. This is something that I thought of from a high place. Shtok, you be quiet. You have this kasha. Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha is not just Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha is a kasha also on that place we were talking about a minute ago in Auschwitz. Like what kind of Zutar v'zuschar? This is the way that Jews are getting rewarded for their Yiddishkeit by being sent to Auschwitz. So Hashem says, shtoik, kachal masholafanai, be silent. This is my inyan that I have. And Hashem actually said that if you say another word, if you say a word, the whole world is going to go back to tohu v'vohu. The world will be destroyed. What is this? Now there are a million questions. And we have to be careful, because if you're thinking about these questions, we always think about these questions, especially Shavuot Shabbatam is Erev Tisha B'Av, and a person has to be able to go, shh, shh, shh. Hashem loves us, Hashem is good. Everything is right. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Shh, 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 shh. But that's what's happening over here. There are a million questions. Moshe Rabbeinu was shocked. You showed me this great tzaddik. You showed me this huge Talmud Chacham. And that this tzaddik is going to basically give over the Dvar Hashem that I brought down on Har Sinai and is going to bring it to every Jew in the world. And his reward is that he's tortured to death and that his flesh is being sold in the market. That's his reward. It's a big kasha. And Hashem's answer was, shtaik. Silence. Silence. Ma psham shel dvar. Moshe ben Asher shel yisad amayim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes from the water. As it says in Pasukim, and amayim mishisu. He was drawn out of the water. His name, Moshe, means min hamayim mishisu. Moshe means to draw out. Min hamayim mishisu. And his name begins with a mem of mayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as you know, had problems speaking. Min hamayim mishisu. Ashlichu l'mayim. Now he was, as a baby, he was thrown into the water. And that's where Basia found him, crying. Now you all remember that it doesn't say that she heard him crying. You remember? It says Vatera. She saw that there was a Jewish, she saw there was a baby crying, and she said, oh, it's Menahar Ivrim, it's a Jewish baby. In other words, that the Jews had to throw their kids into the water. So she saw. So Yitzhak Vorka and the Tzaddikim will ask, what do you mean she saw there was a baby crying? She's standing further away. There's a baby crying. You hear the baby crying. So Yitzhak Vorka said that only a Jew knows how to cry without making a sound. That's what the Vorka Rebbe said. But a Jew knows how to cry without making a sound. She saw the baby crying. So Moshe Rabbeinu is in this little teva, and he's crying. Memela ashtika mezgala asla yishtika she yisoyde beside amayim, but he was crying without making a sound. So the silence of Moshe Rabbeinu is a silence that comes from water. Mitzadkach hagdaros hadavar. Who shoysek mehadibur? Avla kol apnimi adayin soeg. Rav Schwartz says an amazing thing here. He says the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make a sound. He was crying, as a Jew knows how, to cry inside, without making a sound. So the shtika of Moshe Rabbeinu by the water was a shtika of outer silence, but inside of himself, he was still crying. And there, when Basia came there, she saw Nebuch, a little Jewish baby, crying, but not making a sound, but crying. So that means that even though he wasn't making a sound, but the kol apnimi is a dying soik, but inside there was crying, there was screaming. Next page. So it means that there's not absolute complete silence over here. It's not complete and total silence. It's not total silence. It's an external silence because he wasn't making any noise. But inside Moshe Rabbeinu, he was crying. There was noise. There was turbulence. But when he was older, and he saw in a vision Rabbi Akiva in the future being cut up and sold. So then Hashem, and he had a kasha. In other words, because Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to be quiet, he doesn't even speak. But inside Moshe Rabbeinu's amazing mind, there's a lot of noise. And Hashem tells him, shtoik. Be silent. When Hashem told him, be silent, he wasn't telling him, don't talk to me. He wasn't telling him, don't ask me kashas. That you could tell anybody. He was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, shtoik, ever since you were in the world, you were crying in silence. And now, in other words, there's a scream inside of you. And now you're screaming inside of you, because it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu never even said these words to Hashem. The Gemara is telling us what Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking. This is what happens to Rabbi Akiva. But in his head, his thoughts are screaming. Where's Yosha? Inside his head, he's screaming. So Hashem says to him, Shtoik. Hashem says, silence those thoughts. So Hashem was sending Moshe Rabbeinu to the highest part of himself, beyond the inner scream, to a place of
okay.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But he was calling us that. So this shtika, so we shtika shemivi oisel has siag lachoch mashtika. Siag lachoch mashtika. Welcome, Shurish and Machshava, to a place that's called Kachol Machshava Lufanai. We don't know what that is. There's a moyach, there's a moichin, there's a mind, there's a thought that comes from the deepest, deepest place. Siag lachoch mashtika. You know, in the Sipuri Maisius of Rabbi Nachman, you know that the longest story and the hardest stories are the seven beggars. And we have on the third day and the fourth day of the Shever Brachas for the Chasen HaKala, when each day a different beggar came and told his story and gave it as a gift to the Chasen HaKala. So the third and fourth days are about silencing of speech and the silencing of sound. That's what the third and fourth days are about. If you have the stories of the Betler as the seven beggars, and you read over the story of the third and fourth day, I'm just reading to you, I'm not going to explain it. It's the deepest, deepest Torah. And on the third day, the couple remembered, they were longing to see once again that beggar who first came to them in the forest, who is Kvad Peh. That reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Kvad Peh, who had problems speaking. And while they were longing for him, all of a sudden, he came and he said, I'm here. He was kissing them. And he said to them, I gave you a bracha when I first met you. I gave you a bracha that you should be like me, kvad peh, as somebody who can't speak. And now I'm going to give you the ability to mamish be like me. You think that I can't speak. You think that I have problems speaking like my Shabbat. Stuttering, whatever it was. Do you think that I'm a kvad peh? Ain't any kvad peh klal. I'm not a kvad peh at all. Baksha diburim shel ha'olam she'enem shvachim la'Hashem mizbarach ain't behem shleimus. All of the speaking, he says, that goes on in the world, the people talking and talking and talking, is nonsense. It's narishkeit. Doesn't give anything to Hashem. Al-Kain, he says, Rabbi Nachman says, Al-Kain u'nira kekvad peh, ki u'kekvad peh me'il la'diburim shel ha'olam, because he doesn't speak the words that are being spoken in the world. He has silenced himself from the foolish words that are being spoken in the world. The truth is, I'm not a kvad peh at all. Adrabah, just the opposite. Ani Melis Vadarba Niflamoid, I'm an amazing speaker. Vani Yochaladarba Chidas Vashirim, Niflam, I'm able to say all kinds of riddles and rhymes, amazing poems. Adshe Nimsa Shum Nivra Bailam Shal Yitzalishmayasi, that there isn't one in the world who wouldn't want to hear what I have to say. Then on the fourth, and then he tells his story, and he gives them over the ability to be kvad peh. Then on the fourth day, it says that the fourth day, the simcha, the fourth of the Shabbat has ended, and they rested, and they slept, and they had a great longing for the fourth beggar. Who's the fourth beggar? The one whose neck is crooked. And then all of a sudden, poof, the beggar with the crooked neck comes and says, I'm here. Same thing, I gave you a brach, you should be like me. Now I'm giving it to you as a gift. You think that my neck is crooked, the place where sound comes from, not speech, sound. You think that my neck is crooked. Ain't savor yachim klal, it's not crooked at all. Adversely, tzavor shavim oy tzavor yachim, I have a beautiful straight neck, throat, and neck. Rakshiyesh havli oyla, but there are sounds in the world. Vain, and he writes it, lohaytzi shum hel v'ruach shakar duchbe, in Yiddish, b'havli oyla, and I don't want to make any sounds. The world is filled with sounds. Amachim azeh, it seems to, because of that, my neck is crooked. Avabemes, yesh li tzavor yachim oy. But in truth, I have a very beautiful neck. Tzav niflamoid, a wondrous neck. Kiyeshli kol niflamoid. I have an amazing voice. But kol mini ha-koilis shabaylam shem kol b'leidibet, all of the sounds, all of the koilis of the world, that are sounds without speech, kulum an yochel ha-yitziyam b'koili, I can mimic with my voice. Kiyeshli tzav v'kol niflamoid, because I have a wondrous neck and a wondrous voice. Kiyeshli eskam al-zem yo'isam adina. And I could prove this from the story of Isa Medina, the amazing story about the two birds with the sounds from one Medina to the other Medina, and everybody's crying. It's all about Tisha B'Av. It's all Shavuos and Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. The whole Isa over here with the koilis from one town to the other. Which when we were growing up, there were famous Jewish musicians who had a song called The Sound of Silence. The Sound of Silence. The Sound of Silence. So when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, shtoik, he was taking him to a higher place of shtika, to the highest place of shtika, to kach al machshavah lefanav. That's the second type of shtika. Now, how all of this relates to, more specifically, to water, and how shtika brings us to a higher level of thinking and understanding, Bez Hashem, for now I'll say shh, and we'll continue. As Hashem next week. Shkoyach, Rabbi Sein.